Hey, Pubcasters. It's your host, Tim Hunzie, the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. We have a fantastic episode today. If you're an artist, you're going to really want to pay attention because we're sitting with Katie Kirkover. She is the Senior Vice President of Frontline Recordings North America for BMG. And man, she unloads a wealth of knowledge on us. I think you're really going to enjoy it if you're a beginning artist or an artist that's already on a trajectory. That she's got a little nugget for everybody. So buckle up and enjoy the ride. Hey, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzie, and today we have a very special guest, my friend and Senior VP of Frontline Recordings North America, Katie Kirkover. Did I get the title?
Hello, hello. You did, yes. It's with BMG, so that everyone knows.
That's important. I forgot the BMG.
I would hate the pressure of having that title without the company.
Just all of North America. You're A&R for
North America.
Well, you are taking over, Katie, and we're very excited to see the journey. And our relationship goes back. I think I initially met you when because of my relationship working with Jesse Lee. I think that was our first initial connection was with Jesse Lee. But why don't you on that? Why don't you give us a little quick synopsis of how you got started and got to your current position at BMG?
Sure. The quickest, it's a very long meandering road to have gotten here. But I'm a recovering musician, and I started playing violin when I was 4 years old. When you grow up in a town of 47 people, there's nothing else to do. And I moved to Nashville for a scholarship at Belmont. I got hired as a utility player and background singer for some artists. And my best friend being Jesse Lee, one of the artists that connected us. And I toured for a while. I was an artist, aspiring artist. And then eventually I got into some session work and started playing on demos and masters in town. And that led me to getting connected with Carolyn Mobley, who had Cam Creative. And at the same time, I met John Knight, who introduced me to Josh Van Dalkenberg at Sony Music Publishing. And that was in 2018. I started at Sony in 2018. Then from there, I went at Sony to BMG Publishing. And then I got pulled from the publishing team at BMG by John Loba to head up the A&R department. He had heard I was very much in the weeds creatively with some of the artists that were on the roster, Chase Beckham and Drake Milligan, and he invited me to start sitting in on some of the team meetings for other artists, and then was asking my opinion. And thankfully, Sarah Canavy, who used to head up the A&R department here, big shout out to Sarah because she's the one that ultimately, you know, recommended me for the position. So again, would not be here without her. There's a lot of people along the journey that have played a massive role that I wouldn't be here without.
I love that. Do you feel, and I think I already know the answer to this, but do you feel that your background as a musician has really helped prepare you for the role that you're in an A&R position now?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I'm most grateful for is how much I got my butt kicked. As a musician, as an aspiring songwriter and artist, and just to be able to not only understand what it's like to write a song, what it's like to record an album, what it's like to be out on the road, but also all of the time and energy and years that I spent pouring into learning how to play music and understand music and really speak that other language has given me a different skill set that, you know, 21-year-old me, 25-year-old me would have never guessed that I would be able to use those tools in the way that I use them now. But I'm very grateful for that.
I think right now as A&R is, people have this, you know, movie vision of it, of, you know, you listen to music all day and you go sign artists and you're at events and shows and this is all you do, but it's way more detailed than that. So
absolutely,
you have to do both. You have to work with the label and work with the artist. So maybe walk us through what that's like for you, and like, because you have to know the speak of what it is inside a label, which I'll be honest, now working at Big Machine, being part of Big Machine Label Group a little bit. Now, I don't work for them, but I get to sit in meetings. Different language, boy. It's a whole different thing that they're looking at, as well as being able to truly talk authentically to an artist. And you and I shared this in a conversation outside this podcast about learning how to work with producers and walk through the creative. So maybe you can just touch on what that looks like in your daily life.
Yeah. I wish it was like the movies. I wish that those are my favorite parts, you know, to be able and to just sit and listen to music and really dream with the artist and producer and songwriters even. God, I love songwriters. On what projects could be, but more in a day-to-day scenario. Every day, first of all, is very different. I look at the A&R role and mine specifically as more of a bridge between having to constantly shift between understanding what each department needs internally in order to be the best at their job and how to arm them with either the knowledge or perspective of the song or things that the artist was targeting when they were making the album, so that they can go do their jobs to the best of their ability. But then also, it's being able to understand the pressure and the expectation that the label is putting on things, and being able to temper that in a way back to the artist and the producer that's not just soul crushing and, you know, putting this extreme amount of pressure on them to create, because I try so hard to create that or to protect that creative spark that happens when an artist is making their project. No good art is really made when you're, you know, when you're trying to beat a deadline. So a lot of what I do on a day-to-day basis is not only listening to songs, of course, and talking with the artists and talking with their teams, but it's navigating internally and trying to make sure that all waters are calm as they can be, and that each department, as their needs come up, whether it be if they're trying to understand something, hey, we need to work on a campaign for this artist for X. Do they have any of these things coming? You know, for me, before we have music ready to play, because that's the other thing, is it's really hard to share music in process with a large team because they're not always aware of all of the phases that it goes through before it hits that point that it actually has that emotional impact that the consumer knows. So it's a lot of balancing between navigating what each department needs and also trying to foster and champion the creative vision. Ultimately, it's not my vision, it's the artist's vision. And that at the core of it is really, it's just protecting that and going back and forth between what the label needs and helping bring that to life with the artist.
You know, an artist comes into you, so having kind of seen what your days are like, or it's a little all over and you're working internally with the label and working, so let's start it. Phase one, when an artist comes to you, what's that process like when they're, all right, we're going into a record, whether it's a new artist or an established one, what does that process look like for you? What do you try to do to help them really create this body of work?
So initially, I'm going to ask these questions of, it depends where they're at in their career too. Have they made albums before, right? Or is this their first one that they're making? Those are handled differently. But let's just say that it's a new artist and we're making their first album. You know, the questions that I'm going to ask that are most important to me in the beginning with them is really understanding their why. Why are we making this album? What is it that is moving them to fuel that desire to create a project to put out into the world? And then really trying to hone in on that and asking them what's inspiring them. What are they listening to? That do they have an idea of the sonic identity that they're trying to create? Or do we need to explore that a little bit? Who are they as a person? What's important to them? What do they want to talk about? Are they a songwriter, or are we needing to go find the majority of the music for the project? And really trying to hone in on what their artist vision is and what their voice is. A lot of times that comes from personal, you know, their personal experience. Where are they at in life? What have they experienced? Are they going out partying all the time? Are they single? Are they, you know, are they married? Do they have a family? Is there some sort of bigger life event that is extremely impactful, that they really have a beautiful way of sharing that and helping people or motivating people. So it's really getting in the very beginning stages, it's going to be getting down to that ground level and go, why do you want to create an album? Because if you don't know your why, we can throw things together. We can piecemeal stuff together. But for me, I like working with artists and working on projects that at the end of the day, like, I don't want it to just be a hodgepodge of songs. I would love for there to be more motivation behind it. And it's always best song wins and what's telling that story. But also, we're creating art that's going to last a lifetime. So if we can tie something together that gives them the ability to also go out into the world and talk about something, whether it's a party and having fun or, you know, something, some life experience they've had, I would rather get a little bit more to the meat of it as opposed to it just being hodgepodge. So it's first understanding their why.
What is it that makes you love an artist? What draws you to a talent? And part two of that is, how are you finding talent? Where are you going to find your new artist?
Well, I can give you this example of something that draws me. One, the first thing, if it's somebody that I've not met in real life yet, if it's someone that maybe I'm discovering online, I'm like, is what is absolutely unique, you know, best, first, or different, right? Like, what is absolutely unique about them that no one else has? They're an artist that I saw online, I have yet to meet, and their voice just, oh my gosh, it blew me away. And so generally it'll start there if it's in a, or maybe it's, maybe they're recording, they're putting music out that's recorded and it has a really unique sound to it. So what's unique about it is really what will grab my attention first. If it sounds like everything else, I'm moving on. But I will tell the story. I can't name the artist yet because we haven't announced the signing, but there is an artist that we signed last year. And I sat down with this artist with my team, with John Loba and Joe Jamie Har. We were listening to this artist's music and they have a lot of consumption already. And really, I think we were going into it like thinking we had these preconceived ideas for some reason, kind of maybe about how this person was, because, you know, I mean, you go through so many meetings and you hear music, you start to get to a point where sometimes you're like, man, I just, from their music, it feels like they're this type of person. I couldn't have been more wrong. And I went into this meeting and I sat across from this artist, and even though their music had this kind of harder exterior to it, when I sat across from them, I immediately fell in love with them because of the human element and their heart. And hearing who they are and what all they've done to get to the point where they were was so inspiring to me. And motivated me by the feeling of, I want to work hard for you because you deserve this, because you've worked so hard to get to this point and you're great. Not only is it just the work ethic, but you're also great. And when we left that meeting, Joe Jamie and I were walking down the hall and we both said, oh my God, we don't want this artist to leave. Like, we don't want them to walk out of the building. We absolutely fell in love with them. It was a beautiful moment where just that, I mean, this artist cried sitting across from us, and it was somebody that we never thought we would see cry, got super emotional about sharing, you know, when we started talking and getting into stories and learning about who they are, just really got deep. And man, there was such a human connection in that room that it was just so moving and so motivating that, you know, I think my advice is, if you're sitting down with a publisher or a record label, be authentically you. Don't try to be what you think we want you to be or what you're supposed to be. It's all about being authentically you. And when you are that and you let people in and you let them know you, it's just that much more motivating and inspiring, really, for the people that you're hoping will come onto your team.
Is there something you can share? Because I realize I'm about to ask a question you may not even have the answer to. What's the secret sauce? Because holy cow, you guys are really crushing it. And eyes are on you because this taking a while to build these out. This wasn't an overnight success.
Right. I mean, I think if anything, the secret sauce is really it's in the team. It's not one thing. None of this happens, you know, none of this happened by one department. It's not the A&R department that just, you know, we're responsible for a piece of the puzzle, right? And it's how we do business with our partners and our artists and their teams. So I think part of the secret sauce is really like, man, when we have an artist that we're like, you can feel they're right on, you know, with Jelly and with Lainey, it's like, you feel that momentum picking up and you feel you're like starting, it's like the rocket ship that's about to take off and it starts to shake, right? And you know that there's something here. And that's when the pressure and the expectations really get turned on, because if we're not all functioning well as a team and in lockstep and sharing the information in real time and moving as many mountains as we can to continue to allow that rocket ship the jet fuel that it needs to blast off, like it can burn out really quickly and you can miss those opportunities. And I think part of that secret sauce is really, it goes back to the service, it goes back to being intentional, it goes back to being able to look down the road further at the pie in the sky moments, right? We have these, we're dreamers here as well. We don't have it all figured out. We're growing, right? We're growing constantly and changing. I mean, the difference in this company now, you know, in BMG having brought, and we can get into this, but Broken Bow, which was Jason Aldean's, you know, that's where Jason started. Man, just the growth of that and how BMG now is growing over the last 5 years, 3 to 5 years with these artists, it's really amazing because it's inspiring, because these artists, man, it's working together in lockstep with sharing ideas and the management teams being really strong as well. And they have ideas and come to the table. And then that challenges us to raise the bar and have more ideas or bigger ideas to come to the table. And a lot of times one of the things that I love is, you know, one of Jelly's managers, John Manili, like when we're on calls, he'll lob things out in the middle of a meeting and he'll be like, what if we do this? What does this look like? You know? And then it forces all of us to go, okay, yeah. How do we achieve that? How do we bring that to life? It's something maybe we haven't done before, right? It's so, and I'll never forget, it was, you know, when Jelly played Bridgestone the first time, they wanted to push that. Like Jelly knew, he knew Jelly has a vision. He knows what he wants to do. He knows his fans, and he knew the date that he wanted to play. And it was not even a year out. He said it was, he wanted a specific date at the Bridgestone Arena. And I remember John, my boss, John Loba, being like, we've got John Manili and John Loba saying, oh yeah, next year. You mean next year? And Jelly was like, no, I mean this year. And everybody was like, holy crap, how are we going to get this artist to this point that now he's able to sell out? What can we do to help get the sellout at Bridgestone, right? We went for it. We trusted him. Jelly was like, trust me. He's like, you know, I'll make it happen. We can do it. And we trusted him. And sure enough, it was a massive night. And it goes back to that, just that team lockstep. That I think is ultimately the secret sauce in just dreaming together. And also, you know, not being afraid to admit, hey man, I don't know. Let me go figure that out. We do that all the time. We have a freedom to fail here. John Loba has done an amazing job of creating, and Joe Jamie Har have done amazing jobs at creating that culture here, which allows the team the ability to dream and take chances and have those pie in the sky ideas along with the managers and the artists. I think the thing that I would just beg people to remember is as they're ascending and creating and chasing this dream, it takes kind of like what we started with, right? Like There's a lot of other people that have to lift you up in order to ultimately get to that goal. Don't forget who those people are and take time to acknowledge them and get to know them, because when you pour into them, they pour that much more back into you. So that's, I think, what I would just make sure that everybody knows and carries with them and thinks about.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunze. Producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.